Thank God. I want to be joyous too. You know, every morning when I wake up, we've been talking about asking God, what do you want from me today, Lord? What do you want me to do? And that's what my goal is now, is to find out each and every day, what is my purpose and my goal for this day? You know, I know I have one.
Amen.
And I want to be joyous. I enjoyed that message that Brother Jay preached on Wednesday night. It touched my heart. That's what God wants us to be. He's joy. He's joyous. And he wants us to be that way, too. And that's what I want for me, too. Even in the good times and the not so good times, I want to be joyous, too, because I have a lot to be thankful for. You know, these hidden messages that you guys have told us about, you know, that just keeps us going through all these turmoil times, and it's just a joy to be able to know the hidden message, know the secrets, and what God is telling us and showing us. And I'm just so blessed. Amen. I got through my first eye surgery, so I got one more to go, and I thank God for that. It wasn't as bad as I thought it'd be, you know. Just a little imbalanced right now is all, but I'll get there. I know he's got it too, and I know the healer. And I just thank God for this message and being here again and knowing what I know and feeling better in my body too in all ways. He's so good to us. I'm just joyous to be here.
God bless you, Sister Sue. Y'all may be seated. Go ahead, sis.
I just wanted to give a praise report. The compassion that people have been talking about, you know, I want to be more compassionate, ask God for compassion, then it happens. It's like, okay. And then it's like, so I was working with my son because he was having a little bit of issue with owning up when he did something wrong. And so I started really putting forth, okay, so you were doing something you weren't supposed to. Stop. Turn around, start over. Reset. You know, and he started doing it, and he started telling the truth. Like when something would happen, he would start to say, "Yeah, I didn't pack my lunch. Okay, we'll go fix that." It wasn't an ordeal. It wasn't a 4-hour fiasco. It didn't carry on for a couple of days. He has started to correct himself because of the word, and his grace and his mercy, and the joy of his word. I mean, I've heard and heard, you know, get the gold out of it. And I try and I look for the positive things and everything that comes across my path. Everything. Amen. Everything. But there's nothing like a situation where you look and you can't find it. And then God just opens my eyes. Yes. And I can see that, yes, all this stuff looks bad. But you know what? There's good in this. There's God in this.
Yeah.
And not only is there God in this, but he's already carried me through the situation. But to see it in the situation, that's priceless. Yeah. I've seen it after. We all have 20/20 vision when we look behind us. Yeah. But for me to be able to see it in the moment and have that rest, amen, and that peace and that joy, because his word is that true,
amen,
it's priceless. I'm grateful to be here.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you, sis.
About your son, I reset all the time. But when I come to this place, knowing what we know in this day and this hour, the seals are open, everything is revealed to us. Here's what I've been thinking about. I said, it's just as important for me to do what I'm doing in this day as it was for Jesus. Amen. To do what he did in his day.
That's right.
Well, he said, unless a corn of wheat fall in the ground, it can't bear fruit. We're the fruit that he bore.
Right.
Now, being that time, we look at and seeing all the things that are breaking around us, we know what time it is.
Amen.
He never left us in the dark about anything. So knowing what I know, y'all, you know, it's kind of hard to hold all this down. When I come here, I said, I don't know where to start to praise you. Should I get over here? Should I get over there? So I asked Christy to get her thing going. So because this is a precious hour. You know what, Brother Mike?
Amen.
What I've been seeing here, I see people going here, going this way. This really is temporary. When you're young, I know when I was, you thought you're going to be here forever. You feel like every day that you are not going to be here forever.
Amen.
And you know what? The last part of the journey, you may not be able to raise your hand. Uh-oh, I'm getting ready to somebody. You may not be able to walk. You may not be able to sing or talk like you want to, Brother John. But by golly, I got it today. I got it right now. And I'm fixing to let it loose. You ready, Christine? This song came to me way back yonder when the Lord spoke to me. Once again, a season of joy. I didn't go get God. He came to me.
Amen.
And guess what else he said? You didn't choose me. I chose you. Right. This gives me great joy because with everything I touch, I mess it up. But he's not going to mess this up. Amen. He don't care how messed up you are. He don't care what kind of, he wasn't scared to get his hands dirty. And he is not, he was not afraid of me. He said, there's nothing you can dish out that I can't handle. Amen. So you ready?
Are you going to get your violin?
Oh, yeah. I need her to help me. Yo, what's I'm going to play?
Well, while they're getting that ready, let me get these announcements out of the way here. We've got Pastor Moore and Brother Jeremiah leaving for San Diego Church December 1st through the 4th. And then we've got the Thanksgiving service dinner at Proceeds right after on the 19th of November. And then New Year's service. Just be staying tuned to all the rest of the announcements coming forth and stuff. I am happy to be here.
Amen. Amen. So. Amen.
I'm ready.
All right.
you know I'll get you in trouble. What key is this, MG? We're going to play a simple worship song. I came here to worship. Amen. I didn't come here to see how good I sound, what I look like. So, Warren, you are welcome to join us up here. We're going to play At the Cross. And you played this with us before.
Amen.
Amen. I came to praise God.
Amen.
D? Is it D? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Sing songs number 6 out of the Only Believe. Oh, no, no, of course. Sorry. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen. A couple of Isaiah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I wasn't going to move. Good morning, body. I just wanted to get up and praise God for being here.
Amen.
I may sound a little stopped up. It's nothing that I'm spreading. It's just lingering. But God is good. And even when you don't feel well, I just want to come and get this word because it's the only thing that's going to get me through to the next day. And Brother Jay, on Wednesday, it was just so timely because Brother Peter had so many things that I hadn't heard and didn't know, and I wanted to dig and dig and dig. But what you said on Wednesday was like, it's in God's time.
Yes.
And he will give you one revelation at a time.
That's right.
And I just want to make sure that I'm here so he could talk to me personally. And I can't get that at home, and I can't get it over the internet.
Right.
And I am so thankful that I moved here where I can walk through these doors and get this for myself. Amen. Amen.
Brother Kevin, God bless you.
Good to be back. You know, Jay's message on Wednesday was very, very touching. And, of course, the one thing that always stands out to me is, you know, God's got to give you this revelation. You can't get it on your own. You can't. And trying to go around even the ministry and everything like that, trying to dig, it will never work that way at all. And I love how you said it. You can tattoo it on your body. You still won't even get it. It doesn't even matter. I just thought that was touching. That's true. You know, you try to be smart in this. You can't. It's not about your smartness.
No.
It's not about that. I'm understanding that. It's not about your smartness. It's not about that. Because you look at Brother Childers, he had a ninth grade education, and, you know, but he was very, very, very revelated. You would have thought he had a doctor's degree. You would think that, you know? He was very. And I think about Jeremiah, Jay, and Pastor Moore, you guys are revelated. I mean, guys, you can tell God is dealing with them. You can just, you know it is. It's like, it's not even a question that God's got here.
Right.
You know, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that God, like Sister Mel said, God will build it in timing. And if God doesn't build it, there's not the time for it. That's it. It's just how it is. So we don't try to have to put the cart before the horse. Just take it in strides.
Amen.
That's it. Because even with me, when I start sitting there and sometimes I don't understand it, I was like, Lord, I'll just put it on the shelf. And when he reveals it to me, he'll give it to me. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't have to doubt if it's true. I know it's true.
Know.
It's not about if it's doubt. I know it. I know it's true. I've been here too long. God's been here.
On.
You don't have to doubt if God's here. God is here. That's not even a question. I don't even debate about that. It's just in timing. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate your ministry. You brothers are amazing.
Yeah,
you are. I appreciate you guys. And I just want to say for me, thank God for you guys giving the message to us. And I appreciate it. I appreciate every one of you guys, brothers. You guys are strong.
Yeah.
And we're strong because of you guys. You guys giving this word.
That's right.
So I appreciate it. I really do.
Amen.
So I just want to say that.
Amen.
God bless you. Sister Dawn, go ahead.
You know, I'm thankful to be here. I heard this little song. It was little kids singing this song. It was on that Brother Branham's shows different countries, and they sing it in Spanish and tried to translate it in English. It's real simple to see. But you know, I was also thinking on my heart is that I was thinking about the flesh. You know, we can clean this flesh up. We take a bath every day, but that has nothing to do with what's going on brain, my body, my heart. And I was thinking so many people put emphasis on the flesh. But what's going on in those two realms has nothing to do with my soul.
Sure.
And
Amen.
I was just so grateful that the Lord just kept
Amen.
That coming through me. And he kept this little song in my head, so I'm going to try singing today.
Amen.
It's kind of God doesn't want you frowning. God wants you happy. The human heart was made to be happy. God doesn't want you frowning. He wants you happy. The human heart was made to be happy.
Amen.
Let me get my words. I got the words.
Amen.
I like this song too much to mess it up.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
This is
That's
our
what
time.
This is about. Amen. We came to praise him. Amen, sis.
Oh, my glasses too. Are they on the seat or?
No.
I'm a mess.
Oh, you're sitting on.
Oh.
I'm glad we're a body and I'm glad
God
we love each
you.
Other. And I'm glad these things don't
Amen.
Make us fall off. God doesn't want you frowning. God wants you to be happy. So be happy. God doesn't want want you frowning. God wants you happy, so be happy. You're walking in Him, and nothing can harm you. Oh, no, when you're walking in Him, and nothing can harm you. Just know when you're walking in Him, and nothing can harm you. Sorry, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to bring it back.
Amen.
So I'm going to sing something else. You deserve the glory.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. You know, Brother James, you talked about we let ourselves not sing, and our voice gets cracky, and we don't give it to God. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sit down on God.
Come on.
I never felt I was a good singer, but I know God's called me to sing.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that. You deserve the glory and the honor. Oh, I lift my hands to worship as I bless His holy name. Oh, you deserve the glory. Worship as I bless your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you.
God that I could sing. I may not have a good voice. I don't care about that. But I want to sing. Yes. I want to do my part. Yeah. I don't want to sit there like a bump on the log. Amen. I want to praise God. Yes. And I want my voice back. Amen. I can still praise Him without my voice. I can praise Him without my hands. I can praise Him without being able to walk. But I want to be able to do those things.
Come on.
I want to give Him my all. You know, we sang that first song and we thanked Him for this day. And we are in the eighth day. We're in the day when we see it all.
Yeah.
We're in the day when God is walking in flesh. And we see it. And we know who we are. Everything that Jesus did, we do. When we speak, Jesus speaks. God is in His fullness again. Not in one person, but in a many-membered body. This is a great day. There's nothing we don't understand. There's no one we don't understand. And I just want to praise Him. I want my voice to go out. I want to identify with His message. So many people look at us and they turn their nose down at us. They criticize us. They say all things, but they did the same thing to Jesus. They always wanted to kill Him. Every time He did a miracle, He did a great thing, they wanted to kill Him. He spoke the truth. They wanted to kill Him. He showed them in the Bible, in the scripture, who He was and where He was in that scripture. And they wanted to kill Him. So why would they do anything else with us? They don't want to kill us physically. They want to kill our influence. But I want my voice to go out and praise God and say that this is the fountain of truth. This is the place where the Word of God comes. And you know, you were talking about James and preaching Wednesday. I love the simplicity of the Word. I love it when it, you know, we don't try to go in all this depth and all this knowledge and all this head stuff. We preach truth. We preach things that my grandkids can understand. And they come back and say it to us. I just thank God for the ministry. I thank God for all that's here.
Amen.
What an hour.
What a power.
God bless you, sis.
I just wanted to give God praise this morning. I wanted to thank Him for what He's done for me, you know,
Amen.
Because He's done so much for me. But I told God, our little granddaughter, she needed some dental work. I told God, I said, you see her through this time, and I'm giving you the praise for it.
Amen.
So I wanted to get up. I wanted to keep my word, you know, because this was the third time she'd been in. The first two times didn't work. You know, she was afraid. They just couldn't get the work done. This time, she went in, and even though she was nervous, she was upset, they were able to get things done that needed to be done. And I give God praise because she didn't have to take any of the medication that was given to her. So, I mean, she's a strong little girl, you know. So I just wanted to give God praise for that, but I also want to give God praise for the miracle in me, because I'm a miracle. Amen. You know, I'm standing here a miracle. God put the word in me.
Amen.
And give me what I have. And you know, each of you are a miracle, and I give God praise for you all, too. And I love to hear each and everything that everyone has to say. I love that song, Sister. One of my very favorite songs. Absolutely love
Amen.
It.
Amen.
But there's going to be times I will not be here. Not because I'm backslidden. I will not be here because I'm working. So I'm back to work. I was supposed to have some surgery on this wrist, which it's the decor vein. It's a tendon, not carpal tunnel. It's a tendon. So that was supposed to take place in November. I've wanted to hold it off until first of next year. And so I went ahead. I went back to work, struggling just a little bit with it. But by then, I'll have so, so it'll pay a little bit better.
Amen.
And so, Amen. You know, I'm trying to hang in there with it.
Hanging there.
Yeah. But I just wanted you to know, when I'm not here, I miss you guys.
Well, we miss you.
I miss the word. And I am so grateful and so thankful that I can listen to the internet. And I loved your message.
Amen.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
It touched me so.
We get the best.
And you know, the tears aren't sad tears.
No.
They're happy tears.
That's right.
It's because we know who
yes.
we are. And when we come in here, we know that we're going to receive exactly what God's yes. got for us. It's going to strengthen us. It's going
That's
to give
right.
us everything yes. that we need in order to walk this walk.
Yes.
And, you know, God's going to see us through each and everything that
Amen.
We have to go through. I don't think we have anything to worry about. I think God's got it all.
Yes,
and I'm just going
that.
To relax and rest. And
Amen.
Enjoy.
That's right.
Can the brothers come get the offer?
Oh,
brother Mike. Oh, that nervousness
well.
Will never go away. But I just wanted to get up today because, you know,
brain,
we talk on a reset. I need a reset.
Amen.
You know, I love how Sister Dawn, you know, she tried to sing that song. She couldn't, so she just sung another one.
Fix it.
You know.
Amen. Get it.
She didn't know she would be a good singer, but she sings. You know, I
Amen.
Didn't know I'd be a good testifier, but I testify.
That's right.
And,
Amen.
You know, I'm so glad that I have an understanding of this word. And I'm excited for what is going to be preached this morning. God bless
Amen.
You.
Let me jump in here real quick. I said, wait, and then wait till you're all done or just jump in. So I'm just jumping in. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, they say life is what you make it. And it is, you know, in a natural sense. You can aspire to be anything you want, you know, especially in America and so far. And but, you know, salvation is what you make it to. You know, it's simply what you make it. You know, a lot of times I used to sit there and think, well, when he anoints me, then I'll testify.
Yeah.
Well, you get the cart before the horse again, you know.
You know,
testify, and then he'll anoint you. He anoints his word is what it is. You ain't saying nothing. He's got nothing to anoint, you know. So, you know, and it's totally up to you, you know, how much you want to praise him and what you, you know. I can sit there. I come here, and I come up here, and I say, I ain't going to say nothing today. At all, you know, and but that has changed because everybody's talking about the thing that he was dealing with this morning here.
Amen.
5 o'clock when I was awake and I was thinking, well, Lord, you ain't dealt with me for a while, you know, I haven't really been stirred about anything. So I began to pray and
yeah.
and these things come, you know, thinking about Brother Jay's message, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
You know, that's a true saying. Yeah. You got no joy, you got no strength.
Yeah.
And, you know, these things are so, you can't get around truth. It's just truth. You know, you can't water it down. It's truth.
That's right.
It means what he says what it means. And I'm just thankful to understand, you know, and have an understanding, a revelation, you know. And you think about, well, it's more than just knowledge, and it is. But it's the mind age, so it's knowledge too.
Amen.
But Brother Schultz, you say, is a heaven-born knowledge.
Yes.
It's a revelation knowledge. It's an understanding that comes with that understanding that you have,
Amen.
You know. And so I'm thankful it's that way. I'm thankful that, you know, to know that it's not all him.
Right.
You know, I mean, one sense it is, one sense it ain't.
Right.
You know,
right.
If it's all him, he'd get rid of this flesh and there'd be nothing to overcome. You know, but some
right.
of it's me. You know, I remember Brother Childers talking about. He said, "Don't take my overcoming away from me. I worked hard for this. I've overcome a lot for this. You know, and
right.
it's an overcoming way. And that's not him. He's not gonna overcome for you."
Right.
You know, salvation is of the Lord.
That's right.
You've got something to do with the rest of it. You know, if you're going to overcome, if you're going to be happy, you're going to have joy, you're going to have peace, you're going to stomp all over the devil, it's up to you. He took his stinger out, but it's up to you to remind him.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
You have no hold on me. There's no, therefore now no condemnation.
Yeah.
You know? So that's up to you to keep reminding him about that. And, you know, and we look at the right thing. You know, Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. So he was kind of emphasizing.
Yeah.
Don't stop rejoicing.
Don't stop.
Pray always, you know. Be that spirit and attitude of prayer always. So and I'm glad it's that way. Because that, you know, the flesh needs a little something.
Yeah.
You know, flesh needs to think it's accomplished something. You know, if God did everything for me and I just sit back and rock, then, you know, I wouldn't even praise him probably. You know. But, you know, I praise him because he helps me to overcome.
Yeah.
He's there.
That's right.
I was thinking about Peter coming out of the boat, you know.
Yeah.
He's seen him out on the water, you know, and he said, Lord, bid me come unto you. You know, he wasn't going to make him come.
No.
Peter was asking him, give him strength to come, give him the faith to come. That was Peter stepped out of the boat.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord said, yeah, sure, come.
Come on.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Peter's the one stepped out.
That's right.
And when Peter began to sink, that was Peter too.
Yeah.
But when we lifted him out of the water, that was God again.
Amen.
You know? So, you know, this is a relationship. You know, just like in the home, you talk about it's not me, Tarzan, you, Jane, you know. It's a relationship. That's your sister. That's your brother.
Yes.
We serve God together.
My goodness,
yes. So, you know, it's just been the things I've been thinking about.
Amen. Brother Seth, you'll be the last one.
All right. Well, thank God for that. I was getting nervous. Amen. It is so good to be back here one more time. You know, I was thinking since Wednesday, honestly, it's like, you know, he didn't ask me, can you bind? He said, whatever you bind.
Yeah.
I love that. Amen. He says, you know, he didn't say, give me the joy. He said, restore the joy. Amen. Yeah. You know, we put so many stipulations on God. We're like, well, Lord, you know, like Brother Don said, you know, if you lead me to get up and talk, he said, make a joyful noise.
Sure.
He didn't ask for anything wonderful. He said, just get that dirty bag of flesh up here, drag it in front of this microphone and say, I identify with this. Who are we? We say that we're the last voice to the last age.
Right.
Lord, I want to lift my hands up. I want to sing a song. I want to clap while I can clap and stomp my feet while I can stomp my feet. This is the best time to be serving God because we made it again. I got to say it on Wednesday. I'll say it on Sunday. We made it home. This should be the most comfortable time when we can get up and say, I believe this. This is where we get our marching orders. Lord, I love this revelation, and I just want to get up one more time and identify with this thing. I'm thankful that the doors are opened up because I don't care what you go through. As soon as you walk through those doors, you've dropped it.
Yes.
You dropped it. Amen. You get to walk in this house. I remember one time Brother Jeremiah preached a long time ago about baggage. We come in. How can you praise God with all that baggage?
Right.
How can you lift your hands up when you're sitting there with all that baggage? And you decide whether you walk out with that baggage. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, bro, like Brother Moore says, just sweep underneath the seat. They'll clean it up. It's that easy. It's that simple. I love it because you come in here, he says, just restore the joy. And I start praying differently. I'm like, restore my joy. Yes. Restore their joy.
Yes.
Restore my wife's joy. My kids' joy.
Yes.
They didn't lose it. It was already there. It's eternal attribute. It's you. All you do is just like, Lord, just let me be that much more.
Right,
let me
right,
talk
right.
that much bolder. Because eventually, that revelation is going to get so bright that I'm going to be like, all right, bride, let's go. And I'm going to talk with authority.
Yeah.
I'm going to call by name. Yeah. Like Jesus called to Lazarus. I'm going to say, come on, little bride, let's go. Amen. And then it's going to happen. It's going to be a moment of a twinkling in the eye. It's not going to be some huge, loud, crazy thing. It's going to be like a thief in the night. Nobody will miss us.
Come on.
That's the thing, though, is when things are growing strangely dim, the world's growing crazy, but I thank God for a sound mind.
Amen.
When everybody out there is wondering, oh, Lord, what's going to happen? I know exactly the series of events that's going to happen. I know that the economy has to crash, that Rome has to buy us out, that this, and that. And I thank God for a rest, because in this world, that is the most salvation.
Yes.
It's priceless.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, what you put into this is what you get out.
That's right.
So I want to make sure that I put all that I can.
Yeah.
Pour all that I am into this. So when I leave just rejuvenated, renewed. So, Lord, thank you for restoring that joy, that salvation. That's all I have.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Seth. You know, I love what we get here. It's so perfectly balanced, you know. Yeah. And, you know, I really appreciate Wednesday's message because, you know, Brother Seth and I, we just sat there drinking, eating, just being merry and, you know, sloppy drunk off that word. Just, you can't help but agree. It's just well with your soul, you know. And it's so balanced that, you know, you walk out there and it just does automatically out of you, just walking, just, you know. And so that way Satan has no room. I want to say, if you made it to the house, let's just keep it real simple. If you made it to the house this morning, thank God. You made it. You had to push through all that sludge, just like David did. David had to push through all the gunk, and he had to go through the sewer just to take his kingdom. We're taking our kingdom. We're taking it by storm, you know? And, you know, I love what we get here so much because, you know, I can get a lot of things wrong. And, you know, I went to a wedding this past Friday, and, you know, there was a whole lot of different things that I saw there. And the couple was getting married, and the lady kind of looked like a wizard. She was dressed like a wizard. And, you know, as she was marrying them, and, you know, they were saying all the, you know, vows and all the stuff, there was no room for God in there, you know. And you could sit there and you could nitpick and peck it to death and just look at it the wrong way. But then I started looking at it like, hold on. Let me stop that. Let me stop doing that, because you know what I got? I know what I got. You know, the world doesn't know what they think they have. But here God in flesh is sitting right there in that place. I felt welcome. I felt like nobody was judging me. You know, I felt a good feeling there. You know, yeah. I was happy there. The food was decent. You know, I could have judged everything the wrong way. But see, I looked at it as like, thank God that there's two people in here that actually love each other.
Right.
For if anything, these people are gathered here today just to see two people that love each other do something with it. Sure. And you know, that's positive in a world full of hate. You know, you got the Son of Man right there, sitting right there. You know what? I'll bless this wedding. Sure. I don't care who's marrying them. I'm blessing it. I'll take everybody in here. That's my thinking changed, you know? And I just thank God, because if I didn't have this message, I couldn't think like that. I would have nitpicked it to death, you know? Right. I would have said what wasn't wrong, what wasn't right, and try to, you know, I don't know. But I just thank God for what we get here, you know? So I just want to go ahead and sing this, Oh How I Love Jesus, and the Only Believe. Number 6, and we'll get them up. God bless you. There is a name I love to hear. There is a
of me. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we're so grateful to be gathered together in your house, this opportunity to be amongst your people. Lord, the world doesn't see it. They don't understand it. But Lord, we're so grateful this morning that we could be a part of your word, a part of what you're doing in the hour that we're living. And Father, we pray this morning that you'll just move everything, every hindrance, every battle aside, that we might come and feast at your feet. Lord, we take the word that we've laid out here and ask you to bless the people. Touch those that are sick, those that couldn't make it this morning for one reason or another. Lord, we ask you to just move on their behalf. Father, those who are here by way of the internet or a recorded service, ask you to, Lord, bless those that couldn't make it here, but Lord, getting this word the best that they can. Now, Lord, we ask you to move everything aside and take these words that are laid out before us this morning and speak to our hearts. We do love you, Lord. Oh, when everything comes against us and Satan lies at us, the one thing he can't convince me of is that I don't love you. And Lord, I love you because you love me. Have your way this morning. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Sister Beth, come up here and say something. Come on. You say what? I don't know.
I am very thankful for being here this evening. I wanted to come up here and say I need everybody to pray for my parents. I haven't been able to be with them a lot lately, just for certain circumstances. But I really need everybody to touch my parents.
Amen.
And then I just love this place. I've been here for a year.
Really?
I've been here for a year. Amen. I'm not exactly sure what day, but I know it was in October. So.
Amen.
But God bless everybody.
Amen. You say, you didn't invite me up. He didn't tell me to invite you up. Amen. Happy anniversary, sis. Amen. You know, the thing is that when you get this message, it changes your life. It changes your focus. It changes your direction. And if it doesn't, if you can't tell in a year's time that you've changed, then you haven't. And if you can tell within a year, just look where Beth's come in a year. And not because I've set her down and told her a bunch of rules of what you got to do, what you don't have to do. But when you're sitting under the Word of God, the Word of God changes you. It does automatically. It doesn't. It's not age related. It's not sex related, male or female. It's not any of those things. When you submit yourself to the Word of God, God can change your life. I mean, look, AJ, you've been in what, 2 years, 3 years, two? 2 years. God's Word, and you can tell when somebody's eating the Word. You can tell because it becomes their life, not a passing thing, not a backseat. So you don't give God, you give God first place, and he will become first place. If you take God haphazardly, you don't take it serious, it doesn't mean that much to you, you can take it or leave it, you know what your life's going to be? Just that. Just that. But if you give all to him, he will turn around and give all to you. And he will make you to who he wants you to be. And it's not even a a thing that we're making Christians. We're not making Christians. We're not mass-producing Christians here. We're just putting the word out there and letting the word do what it does best, change lives, make lives. And if your life doesn't change, then you need to eat the word. Because that's the proof that you're not eating, is that your life doesn't change. And like Micah said, do a reset. If you've been playing around here, do a reset. And ask God to, Lord, make it real to me. Let it mean everything, everything to me. Let it be such that my life changes around the need of the word. I mean, you build your life around things eternal. You build your life around this. You don't just come here and just be a part of, you know, some people think they're safe because they're in the church. You're not safe because you're in the church. You got to get in Christ. You know, it's not enough to just be a church goer. It's not enough to just come here and listen to me talk to you about Jesus. It's not enough to listen to others around you talk about Jesus. What do you have to say? You know, if he doesn't do something for you personally, then he hasn't dealt with you. If your life doesn't change constantly, then he hasn't dealt with you. Because every time we come to the house, it should make you want to do something a little bit better. I don't care if it's just the way I think, the way I speak, the way I carry myself, the way others look at me. It should do something to you. Because you're the representative. You're the final voice to the final age. And if there's ever going to be anybody who represents Jesus Christ, it's us. Amen. What are you showing the world? What are you showing the people? What are you showing the bride? What are you showing yourself? The Bible says examine yourself. Not me examine you. That's not my job to examine you. You examine yourself to see if you're in the revelation. Because you can be in the church and not have the revelation in you. You could be sitting here this morning just as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. And you feel like you're safe because you're in the house. You're not safe just being in the house. And we'll talk on that a little bit. But sometimes I think we do need a reset. We need to look at ourselves and say, really, is this my all? Or is this just most of me? Or maybe half of me? Might be a third. I don't know. Examine yourself. See what you... What number would you give it? I had an opportunity last night. I went down to Little Bethlehem. Brother Ben Norod was ministering last night, and so I got to go down there and listen to him, and it's good to be able to get out a little bit, and it's good to be able to share. And I went last night just to listen. I wasn't even trying to do anything. Brother Allen was surprised how short my testimony was, because I said, I'm just here to hear. And I said a little something and sat down. But that's all right, because you know what? We can all hear. At least we should all hear. He that has an ear, let him hear. So it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I'm looking forward to the San Diego trip. You pray on that. I haven't heard from Brother Peter. I'd imagine by now he's back home. Thank you for all your support and help with him on that. He wants to bring his wife here next year sometime, and so I'm going to write him a letter and help him to get that door open. So I appreciate him. You know, it's a sacrifice when you travel like that, when you leave your family, you leave your church, you leave your country and go somewhere, and you're not sure how people are going to treat you. They don't always treat you nice. And so it's good that he came by here, and I appreciate that. And if you don't know, Billy Paul Branham passed away this week. And so God bless his soul. Bless him. Because, you know, he put up with a lot dealing with this message and the people, and you say, well, he wasn't what I thought he was. You know, well, you don't have to be what you thought. He was what God wanted him to be. And so he's gone for his reward. So God bless him and pray for the Branham family, because you know what? They're human. And they just lost a loved one. And God help them. And you know, this is another one of those times people will leave the message, because they say, well, Billy Paul was not supposed to be an old man when the sharks swim around the sign in California. And they're all asking that question. And people turn their books in. And again, another, there'll be another exodus. But thank God. Thank God. Because you know what? Billy Paul, he's not my marker. The Word of God is. And so people left in 77 when they thought that the world was going to end in 77, and it didn't end like they thought it would. It ended. The bride got her ministry, but it wasn't what the world thought. Never is what the world thinks. And there's an exodus then, and there's an exodus here, and there's people always exiting the message. But that's okay, because you know what? I'm here for the Word. I'm here because the Word's here. I'm not here because who anybody knows or what they know or on and on and on. I know, I remember when Brother Childers was with us, you know, people, some didn't like him, and they thought this and they thought that. And I thought, you know what? That man has the Word of God. As long as he's got the Word of God, I'm right there with him. So I didn't care about all the gossip and all the stuff that people talk about. And they did the same to Brother Branham. They did the same to Jesus. So, you know, I don't worry too much about that. But it's a sad time for the message people, because now they got to figure out what to do. You know, they're running out of options. You know, I don't know. They want to listen to tapes. If they want to listen to tape, that's fine. But, you know, I like a fivefold ministry. I like a living, moving God. I like a God that tells me what's going on in 2023. And it's not to take away from Brother Branham or the tapes, because I listen to them and I love them all. But when it comes to the Word made flesh, it didn't say the Word made tape. It's the Word made flesh is the light of the hour. And so we will preach. We will continue preaching. They used to always have an Easter meeting expecting Brother Branham to get up from the dead. I don't know if they still do that or not, but I think they pretty much give up on that idea. And so now we need to figure out, they're going to try to figure out what they're going to do with Joseph. And God bless Joseph, because people put pressure on you. They'll put you in positions. They'll look at the Old Testament kings. They look at the high priest to tell them what to do. And people will pressure you to do the wrong thing if you're not careful. So you got to be sure that you're following the Word of God. And Don't let people walk you out there on a limb somewhere. I don't let them do me that way, and I pray that you don't walk out on some limbs, because there's a bunch of them out there. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I enjoyed Jay's message on Wednesday, and you need joy. If you're miserable all the time, something's wrong. Something should make you happy. And don't go through life just mad about everything. You know, you should find something good. And so I enjoyed Jay's message. It's good to see him getting stronger. Continue to pray for him. He needs it. And don't forget Dawn and John. They need it. And don't forget the body here. We need it. And don't forget your pastor. He needs it. And it's just, you know, we got a lot of things to pray about. And so it's good to be able to have people that you can go to and take things to prayer with. And don't forget Beth's parents, because she's asking us to remember them. We're going through a lot. Remember Christy and her family. They're going through a lot of things as well. Just because you see people smiling or you see them here doesn't mean they're not going through things. So keep them in your prayer. So if we were for a few minutes here this morning, because we'll have Bible study this evening, but I want to start over here in the book of Exodus, chapter 10. I want to go over here and read a little bit. Not a lot, but something, a good subject. And Exodus, chapter 10. And we want to start with verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I'd like to title this message this morning, Light in Total Darkness. Amen, Lord. And I wanted to come to this place because this world's a mess. It's a mess. No matter what corner you look at, the world itself testifies now that we're at the end time. There's not one part of the world that's living unscathed. Not one part. If they're not in war, they're about ready to go. Or if they're not in war, the people are rising up in the streets in protest. The world's gone. The world is in total darkness. And I look at the scripture here, and there's a couple of things in there I want to pull out. Number one, Moses had a job to do. His job was to get the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. And it's funny because when Moses started putting the pressure on Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, Pharaoh wasn't going to do it. Every time he turned around. But the key of it is, Pharaoh didn't do it just because he's a mean guy. Pharaoh's actually a pretty good guy. But every time he got ready to let the children of Israel go, God hardened his heart. Pharaoh probably didn't even know why. He's just like, let them go. Then like, no, I'm not going to let them go. Every time he turned around, his heart was hardened against the children of Israel. There was nothing he could do. You say, well, then it wasn't Pharaoh's fault. It was God's fault. Oh, it was Pharaoh's fault. It was Pharaoh's heart. God just hardened it. He had a bad heart. God just made sure that he stayed bad. And this world, you would think this world, after a while, we'll figure it out. And it would get better. You would think man would get smarter. You would think man would figure out how to get along. You'd think man would learn finally how to put a little light on the subject and how to get God's graces back in this world order. But you know what? We've gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's gotten darker and darker. Do you know darkness is the lack of light? That's all darkness is, the absence of light. That's all darkness is. You don't have to make darkness happen. All you got to do is remove the light, and darkness will swallow it up. And here Moses was trying to get the children free. Moses was trying to, in the natural, get them back to the land, back to the word, back to where God can deal. Because God only deals with his people when they're in their land. Whether it's the Jews or the Gentiles, if you've got to be, and see, our homeland is the Word of God. God cannot deal with you unless he gets you back into the Word. That's why he had to bring those messengers. That's why they had to restore the Word, because in order for God to do what he needs to do with the Gentiles, he had to first get the Word here so that he can have something to work with. So Moses' job was to get the children of Israel back to the homeland. And he had the hardest time doing that because the world order wouldn't let him. Every time he turned around, Pharaoh was putting more pressure on. Pharaoh was doing this. Pharaoh was doing that. And Pharaoh
was getting his heart hardened by God. Do you realize in order for this world to destroy itself, God's got to harden the hearts of the people so that they don't care about life?
Right.
And they'll take the whole world off and wouldn't even care. That's what I said when Columbine happened. I said, these boys let something loose that'll never go back. And you see, it hasn't. It's worse and worse and worse. And that's the condition. When it gets dark, it gets real dark. When God pulls back, he pulls back and he's dealing with his children. He wasn't dealing with Pharaoh in Egypt. He was dealing with his children. So Moses' job was to get the children to the promised land, and he had a horrible time doing that. And then God told him, stretch your hand forth, Moses, because I'm going to put darkness on the earth. I'm going to make it so dark that you could feel it. Do you realize the whole world could feel this darkness that we're living in right now? They don't know what to call it. Some of them, that are the Christian type people, they start going to church more because they see how dark it is. The world knows it's dark. The world knows we're on our way out. They know that they can feel that something's in the air. And if the world can feel it, how much more should the children of Israel feel it? How much more should we feel it? If we thought that the world was in a bad condition before, if we ever did a reset, if we ever got serious with God, if we ever put God first, if we ever laid everything else aside, now's the time, because you should be able to feel the darkness that's on this earth.
Amen.
They don't even know where to turn for answers.
They don't.
Church world, they don't have a prophet. Their messengers are gone. The only reason we have a prophet is because he put food in the storehouse.
Yeah.
He put enough in there just like Joseph did. He put up enough that's going to sustain us during the drought.
Right.
During the darkness. During the time when man doesn't even want... A wizard at a wedding? That's an oxymoron. Wedding's a Christian event.
Right.
A wizard is a witch.
Yes.
It's still a witch. It's an oxymoron. The world is lost. They're lost. Don't have a clue. And in the middle of all of this, we got a prophet who told us it was going to be this way. We have a message. You say, I'm tired of hearing about the prophet. Then you know what? You in the wrong place.
Yes.
Amen. Because we're going to hear more about the prophet. As the day gets darker, do you realize Moses meant more to the children of Israel when it got dark than when it was light? When they could look out their window and look across the hillside, it was pitch black, and they had light. Do you realize that they realize that that's more than man? Do you realize when the church rolls in total darkness and don't have a clue about it, and here we sit with the message of the hour in pure sunlight?
Amen.
It should make you appreciate this message more than you ever have in your life.
Amen.
To be able to know what we know should make you thank God more now than ever before. You should teach your kids this. You should teach your wife this. You should teach your husband this. We should all get under this message because this is the only light in the land.
Amen.
It was so thick. The darkness was so thick that the world could feel it. Not Israel. We're not in darkness. We're not sitting here trying to figure out what's going to happen with Israel. We're not trying to figure out what's going to happen with the Gentiles. We're not trying to figure out what the next step is for the bride. We already know. Light's turned on. God didn't hide anything from his friends. He let us know the whole thing. Where we know everything, they know nothing.
Right.
We're sitting here with a clear understanding. We can see clearly in pure daylight.
Right.
And they're in such darkness. And they've been in darkness for 3 days. And it's gotten darker and darker and darker.
Now they're sitting there in total darkness, and they can feel, they know something's going on. They can't go along with Israel. And Israel's getting ready to do some stuff that's going to make them blush. They're getting ready to do some stuff that's going to have to make the whole world turn against them. They have to. Just what they've done last week. Starving them. 1.1 million starving them. The whole world is saying that is inhumane. But they don't understand Israel. They don't know how Israel fights. They don't know when God tell Israel, kill everybody. Kill everybody. Don't even leave an animal. Israel will do it. And in this legacy and lazy world, age of rights, they're not going to have it. They're not going to be able. Our president's going to have a hard time identifying when Israel does this, because they're like, oh, wait a minute. We can't back that. And I could tell. I could tell when he would talk from the very first day. He'd say, now we're going to keep the Geneva Convention rules of war. And I could see him separating from Israel, because they had a closed door telephone call meeting, and Israel's saying, we're not going to worry about this Geneva Convention. We're not going to worry about, they are fighting dirty. And I told somebody, I said, I felt like it was when the Redcoats came to the America. And they wanted to fight. I think it was Jay. I was talking to him. I said, they wanted to fight the Americans. Well, the Americans had been fighting the Indians. And they learned a new way to fight. Indians went behind trees. They covered themselves up. They taught the Americans how to fight. Well, when the British came over with their Geneva Convention rules, bright red coats, stand in a line out in the middle of a field with a gun. Those Americans picked them off like chickens. And Israel understands right now that they're going to have to fight this warfare just as dirty as the enemy. And that means they're going to have to kill everything. And they will. And it won't be the first time. But we want them to do it properly. So that's why the world's going to turn on them. You watch. But you got to understand, when the world turns on Israel, God's got a deal. God's got to step in. So they can get as mad as they want. It's ugly. It looks bad. It looks terrible. But it's dark. And it's so dark that the whole world can feel it. They feel it. They know something's getting ready to happen. They know. They're testifying of it. Do you realize when Rahab, when Joshua and them come to Rahab, it wasn't Joshua's men testifying to Rahab. It was Rahab testifying to them. We know that your God is the God. We know that he's done this. We've heard how he's cleaned this out and how he's done these things. And she's just testifying away. And the world's the same way now. They're in such a dark state right now. They don't know what they want to be nice and polite. They want to save lives. They want to do all these things, but yet they realize they can't. So it's so dark, the whole world feels this thing. And it's gotten darker for the last 3 days. It got darker and darker until they couldn't see nothing. But do you realize at the same time, Israel was in perfect peace? They weren't having the trouble. They didn't have to turn the lights on. They didn't have to try to do anything. They were in light. And here we are. The world's a mess. And I'm talking about church world. Church world's a mess. Like I said, wizards. They'll do anything. It's a mess. But let me ask you a question. For the last 2 weeks, where's the Pope? Oh, my. Not a word. He's the one that can go into a country and stop a war. They stop fighting when he comes. He's the one that holds all the money. He's the one that has all the gold. But he's also the one that don't really like Israel. They killed his Jesus. So he really doesn't like Israel. He didn't stand by his side, John, during the Holocaust. But where's the Pope? Standing in the wings. But that's the world. That's the world condition. That's the world order. The church, where's all your bishops? Where's all your church people? I hear them say, pray for Israel. But they don't understand what that means. Do you realize that the Jews told Jesus, let his blood be on our hands. They didn't realize what that meant. They've been paying for it ever since. And the Gentiles are saying, the Gentile church world saying, pray for Israel. But they don't know what that means. Pray that God goes and helps Israel. Pray to God, you know, for, well, that's suicide. Because for God to really do for Israel what God's got to do for Israel, he's going to be finished with the Gentiles. And nobody knows this but the bride. I was thinking about Israel going into the land of Egypt. In Genesis 47, just to jump down, save time, verse 27. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in a country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. This is back when Joseph had moved them down to Egypt to save lives. Remember those 7 years of drought? That 7 years of drought caused Israel to have to move. See, God always brings something on the scene to force people to move. Hardship causes people to move. They didn't want to go to Egypt. They were in the promised land. But when the 7 years of famine came, Joseph said, hey, bring Dad and all our brothers and all that you have down here, and we're going to put you in an area. And we're going to let you live there. And we're going to call it Goshen. We're going to put y'all all in there together. Well, that sounded good the first year. But by the time you got to the 400th year, they were slaves. It wasn't Joseph's plan to make them slaves. But a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph raised up. And brought hardship. And hardship caused the children of Israel to start crying to God. Do you realize everybody over there are religious? You don't have the only heathens you have are Egyptians. But the Palestinians and the Israelites, they're both praying to the same God. When they came in Israel, Israel was praying, oh God, help us. And now Israel's messing with the Palestinians. They're down there praying, oh God, help us. They're all religious, but it causes a hardship. It takes a hardship to cause God's people to do anything. That's why you got to have problems. That's what somebody said this morning. You got to have adversity. You got to have something that causes you. It brings things out of you. If God just gave you everything and he did everything and it was all him and none you and you didn't offer God nothing, then you would be worthless. No character, no nothing. But God puts you in trials. God puts you in tribulation. God puts you in stress. Amen. He crushes that rose. Amen. To get the sin out. Amen. And that's what he's done with you. That's what he does with me. He puts you in circumstances that causes you to let whatever's in you out. If God's in there, he will come out. Amen. When adversity comes your way.
Right.
If God's not in there, you're not going to ask for prayer. You're going to try to do something yourself. But when you get to a place where you say, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. I can't walk this walk without you. I can't make this decision without you. I can't do what I need to do without you. When you start feeling that, don't start complaining. Start thanking God, because God's putting some pressure on you that caused what's in you to come out. And look at what comes out of you. Look at what happens when you get under pressure. Do you cuss God and die? Do you throw your hands up and give up on salvation and think, well, it's done. I ain't nothing now. And turn around and go back to the world? Oh, no. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling. That makes you push. That makes you go harder. It makes you more of a Christian than you were before the pressure. Not my will, but thine. That's what Jesus said. So it takes pressure to cause you to move to where you need to be. It'll cause a light to see. You see, if you don't have no light in you, no light will come out of you. If all you got is darkness in you, when you get under pressure, confusion comes. Oh, I don't understand. Why do I have to go through this? Why am I in this situation? Why me? Why? You know how we do. We complain about everything. Nothing's good. Nothing's right. No joy. I count it joy.
Amen.
When I get tempted and struggle through life.
Right.
Because out of 40 years, I'm still here.
Yes.
Out of 40 years of problems and troubles and trials and backstabbing and all the disloyalty and everything that if anybody should have left, I should have left. But through it all, like Courtney says, they said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today, but I'm still holding on because I got something on the inside of me. And in the middle of all that pressure, it brings God out of me. It doesn't bring confusion. When you look at me and you're confused, something's wrong. You should not be confused in this hour. Not with all the light we have. You should have answers to everything now.
Amen.
That's the hour we're living in. We're not over there in Egypt in the darkness. We're in the light.
Amen.
We've got the light on us. We see everything. We understand every man we meet. Every problem we get into, we know how to get out of it.
Amen.
But Israel went down to Goshen. And Goshen was a special place. That's where God dealt with Israel. He kept them. He nourished them. He fed them. He took care of them. But people get in Goshen, they get settled. People get in church and get settled. I'm telling you, it's not good enough just coming in these doors. Don't fool yourself. Don't think because you're Israel that you're safe. Don't think, see, that's what they thought with Jesus. Abraham's our father. They were trying to insult him. Because what they were trying to say is, we know who our daddy is. Who's your daddy? That's what they were trying to insult him. Jesus turned right around and said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do like Abraham would. He ain't your father. You're of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you'll do. He's a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Now, what kind of response is that? That was not politically correct. That didn't. Jesus didn't care because he was the light of the world. He knew what he was doing. He knew who he was. He knew where he stood. When you know where you stand, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks.
Amen.
Oh, people don't think I'm going to heaven, but I don't care what they think because I know I'm going.
Right.
How do you know you're going? He said I could go.
Right.
And if he said I can go, I don't care what you say. So you sound off, assure yourself, I am. Lights on. It says, when Moses began his ministry, Israel gathered together in one place in Goshen, began to pray. See, they got to gather. They got to gather together themselves. Begin to pray because they know the hour was at hand, because they know something was there. The deliverer had already come. God was working, doing things, showing what he was going to do. They come to, from all parts of Egypt, just like they did all, just like they will at the day of his coming. They'll take people out of the Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, all those who had identified in Christ by the token, God will take them when he with him when he comes. He brought, when Israel heard Moses was there, they all come back to Goshen. And the reason they come to Goshen, because they figured, you know what, we're getting ready to get out of here. You know why y'all gathering from every walk of life? Because we've heard Moses. We've heard the prophet. And we're gathered here in Goshen. And we're in here waiting. Because we know it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Waiting because we can see the darkness out there. Waiting because we got perfect light now when nobody else has it. Oh, we're not stupid. We're the ones who knows what's going on.
Amen.
And we've come from the east and west, the song says. Amen. We come from a land afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guests. How blessed these pilgrims are.
Yes.
Oh, we come from Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, Methodist
yes.
churches,
yes.
from the streets.
Yes.
We come from everywhere.
Yes.
And we gathered in Goshen because we heard that God sent a prophet.
Amen.
We heard that God sent a message. Yeah. We heard that God sent a deliverer, and that deliverer is going to take us home.
Amen.
That's why we gather. Yes. That's why we come together. That's why we've left every denomination.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I could have stayed in the apostolic church, but I couldn't have got this light.
No.
I don't care where you were in Egypt. If you weren't in Goshen, you need light. But thinking about it, only those who were called were able to go to Goshen.
Right, right.
Only the children of God
right.
could go to Goshen.
Right.
Only those who are the elect.
Wow.
Nobody else heard the call.
Right.
Don't you think if it was dark in Egypt and you saw Goshen was shining like the sun, don't you think all you'd have to do is go walk into Goshen?
Yeah.
It's just that simple. You seem to think that if everybody could see the light over the hill, that all they have to do is go where the light is. Oh, that's a simple thing you would think. You would say that common sense would tell the people to follow the light.
Right.
You would think.
Right.
But see, everybody can't follow the light.
Amen.
Everybody can't pick up the word. Everybody can't recognize it. To them, it's total darkness. To them, it's still dark. And they don't see it at all. But yet the bride comes right to Goshen. She comes to Goshen because she knows God's about ready to make a move. And when God makes a move, I'm going to be where God is. When God makes a move on the bride, I want to be right where God is.
Amen.
Oh, they've got their church world. They've got their denomination. They've got their form of godliness. They've got the stuff that they're batting around in the darkness and trying to figure it out. But I know what it is. I clearly see where I stand.
Amen.
Amen.
Clearly. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm not trying to pat backs. I'm not trying to get clicks. I'm not trying to get your opinion. I know clearly where I stand.
Amen.
And if you want to come and go to Goshen with me, come on.
Amen.
If you don't want to come and go to Goshen with me, stay where you're at.
Right.
I'm not trying to figure this out. I know what it is.
Right.
I've recognized the prophet. I know we've had a prophet.
Amen.
He's brought the light to us.
Amen.
And I clearly see where I stand.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4 says, he told, Paul was telling Timothy to preach the word. Be instant in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People don't want sound doctrine. You can tell them what the truth is, and they act like they just. Have you ever run into anybody who act like they want the truth until you give it to them? They act like they want to know the truth. But then when you give it to them, they're like, oh, I don't believe that. Oh, that's not that important. Oh, we don't teach it that way. Oh, we don't. See, that's somebody who don't really want the truth. Because when the bride hears the truth, she quickly turns to it. I don't fight the Word of God. I don't try to figure a way around it. I don't try to slowly do it. I turn quickly to the Word. When the Word says I'm wrong, I say, God, I want to be right. Amen. See, it's the heart's desire of the bride, only the bride, to want to be right. If you don't want to be right, you're not part of the bride.
Amen.
I don't care how much you're sitting in Goshen. I don't care how much light you're sitting around. If you're sitting in this church and you don't turn quickly to the Word, you're none of His.
Amen.
The bride will turn quickly to the Word. How do you know your bride? You turn quickly to the Word.
Amen.
The zeal of the hour, Brother Branham said, is to say I'm wrong.
Amen.
And when I'm wrong, I can get right.
Yes.
If you're wrong and you don't want to get right, something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
I'm only here to tell you what the truth is.
That's right.
My job is to preach the Word. My job is to tell you where your spirit's at. See, you know, there's only one person in this church that can deal with your spirit. That's me. That's my job. And when I see your spirit's not right, I'll tell you about it. Now it's up to you what you want to do with it. You can keep it or you can let it go. The bride will let it go. But if you keep it, I'll mark you. You say, when are you going to tell me something else? When you do what I told you about the last time? When you going to change your message? When you change your life?
Amen.
When you going to get off me? When you turn?
Yes.
Amen.
That's the way it works.
Amen.
You say, but I'm a good person. I'm in Goshen. It ain't enough to be in Goshen.
Right.
Sit in this church all you want. If you never turn your life around to Christ,
Amen.
You're wasting your time. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they're going to find somebody. They'll find somebody. That's why there's so many denominations. People don't find they don't look for the Word. They look for somebody that's going to treat them nice. Somebody's going to pat them on the back. Somebody's going to take care of them. Somebody will preach their wedding and preach their funeral and dedicate their babies. That's all they want. That's all they want. That's all they need a church for. What else do you need a church for? Marry me? Baptize my babies? And bury me. That's all they want. That's all they want. But that's not a life. Christ doesn't want your Sundays and Wednesdays. He wants Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He wants to be first place, not second or third. If you got God second place, God ain't even there. God won't be second place. He won't take second. He won't even run the race. If he's gonna be second place, like, you can have it. That's the way he's gonna do with your life. You say, well, I want to hold on to this. I got my own relationship with God. God talks to me. God don't talk to you outside of talking to me. I'm gonna make it that straight with you. If God doesn't talk to you through me, you don't hear from God. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much God you think you have. As Brother Children said, I'll take your Holy Ghost away from you. I'll take what you think you got because you don't have nothing without me.
Amen.
That's like trying to get out of Egypt without Moses. He was the light. The light comes from here. The light comes from here. You got to hear what's being preached. And then when you hear it preached, you got to apply it to your life. That's how you change. That's how you grow. That's how you move in Christ. Outside of that, you're just sitting in Goshen with nothing going on.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
your life haven't changed in the last year, you're just sitting in Goshen. That's it. That's all you're doing. You say, well, quit. You're hurting my feelings. I mean to hurt your feelings. I mean to step on your last toe.
Amen.
Amen.
Because it's an hour where the bride is sitting in light, perfect light,
yeah.
And everybody else is in darkness. And oh, you know, people come to church because of the times. You know, you never see church. You let Israel go to war. People start coming to church. They'll start coming tipping back in because, you know, they're scared. They feel the darkness. They don't have answers. They don't know what's going on. And here we've been talking about it for years. It's like, of course Israel's going to fight. Of course. We're just waiting. It's like, we know it's coming. But we're not doing this in fear. We're rejoicing. Because we know that for God to have to hold on to Israel, he's going to have to let go of the Gentiles. We got to go. We got to go. I told you the other day, I said, if we think we're the final voice to the final age, and we think we're the ones going to be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, then the 144,000 are already alive. They're already here. It's not going to be 144,000 babies. These people are here. You say, well, you're so sure you're going to be the one that be changed in a moment? Yes. Yes, I will be. You say, well, what if you die? I don't even care about that. If I die, I die. But my faith says I'm going to be here, changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Why would I believe anything else? That's like being a Jehovah's Witness talking about I'm not well good enough. God's going to save the 144,000, but he's not going to save me because I'm not good enough. What? Quit wasting your time. I am the one who will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So if I'm going to be changed in 144,000, or if they're not in the homeland, they're getting there. They're getting there. They're coming from the east and the west, just like we did. We came from the east and the west. We come from all over. What brought us here? Pressure.
Amen.
Pressure brought us here. Denominational pressure brought us here. Moved out of every denomination, moved right into the Word of God, right into Goshen where the light is. And what's going to draw Israel? That same pressure. Oh, I saw where they chartered a plane the other day. Had 100-something people they chartered. Because planes aren't landing in Israel right now, they chartered. Somebody paid to have a plane to take 100-something soldiers back to Israel from the United States. They've been here all their lives. One soldier said, I swore my allegiance. They were in this shootout down there. And she said she went home and was trying to get herself together, thinking, this trauma, I got to get out of this trauma. But she said she went home. She said, I thought about it. Said, I swore my allegiance to Israel. And over top of the trauma I'm going to reenlist and go. That's the kind of people you're dealing with. you ain't dealing with just a normal group of people. This 144,000 are serious. They're going home. But here we are with a perfect understanding, know what's going on. We're not coming to church now because it's, oh, we think it's the end. Oh, it's been the end since 1963. We're not coming to church now because we're scared and now we're ready. You know, we got some people scared to come to church and some people scared not to. They're scared because if I come, people will know I'm coming because I'm scared. So I can't come. Then you got those who run into the house because they're scared because they don't want to be outside of Goshen when the world falls apart. Both of them are wrong. I'm here because I love God. I'm not using God as a spare tire. I don't use him as a little crutch. He is my all in all. He's my life. He's my everything. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my salvation. He's my healer. He's my redeemer. He's everything to me. Just to jump down. Zechariah 14, verse 6. And it shall come to pass In that day, the light shall not be clear nor dark. They have no idea. They don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. You should thank God you're here. You should thank God you're here. That you do have a clue about what's going on. It's not day nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but it shall come to pass that evening time it shall be light. When it's time to leave, it shall be light. When it's time to move out of this world, it shall be light. And the only one that's going to see the light are the bride of Jesus Christ. The only one that saw the light of Goshen was Israel. Common sense would say, well, why don't everybody just go there? They can't, because they don't see the light. They can't come here. People can't come here because they don't see the light. They don't see it. They think you're just as crazy as I am. They think that we're nuts. They think that we're a cult. They think that we're just out of our ever-loving mind. They don't know why we come. They don't know why we waste the time. We can go to bigger, better churches across the country. They don't understand, but I see light here. I see God's word here. God has been expressing himself in such a way that I clearly understand his word. Do you know understanding God's words is better? It's better than any old choir.
Amen.
Than better than the best speaker there is in the land. To be able to have a clear understanding, my goodness, to be able to know God.
Amen.
To know him personally.
Yes.
That's better than all these churches offer all over the world.
Amen.
Oh, I know how to preach it. I can go to an apostolic church and I can preach up a storm and they would just flock me with money.
Yes.
I could go to message churches and I could preach what they want to hear and I'd be flocked with money. But I'd rather be in Fairborn preaching to somebody who believes the word. Somebody that's sitting under the light. Somebody that can see this. See, really see this. Really see this. I'm not talking about church going. I'm saying somebody that's looking around Goshen saying, this is the light of the hour. This is really God on hand. God is proving who he is by what he's doing for us. Do you know God's proving who he is by giving you this light? That you can see this and nobody else can?
Amen.
Oh, we're saying, I see it. I see it. I see it. The rest of the world saying, I don't understand. You talking about them about the word of God, they get confused. They're all messed up. And they're looking like, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what God's doing. I don't have a clue. I'm like, I understand. I understand. I understand me. And I understand you. I understand why I can see. I can understand why you can't. I can see why Israel could understand and why Pharaoh saw nothing.
Amen.
There was light in the land. But you have to have an eye. You have to have an ear. You have to be able to pick it up. You have to be able to find out where God is. And like John said, when God talks in this place, our kids' kids understand it.
Amen.
Simple. God's not bringing some big nine-letter words. No. He breaks it down so simple that a child cannot hear.
Amen.
And then you got people saying, I don't want nothing to do with it. Then you got people trying to tune in and to pick up what they can because they know it's right. They know it's right. They know it's right. They heard how God's been with Israel. They heard how God's delivered Israel.
Amen.
They've been taught well how God has been in their lives. And so they tune in. They watch. People tell me all the time, y'all heard what happened to Jake at the hospital. I thought, how'd you know that? They were tuning in. But you heard Peter say it. I tuned in to check y'all out in Africa.
Yeah.
And heard about my friend Jay.
Come on.
Oh, they know we're here.
Yeah.
Fairborn ain't just some unknown.
Right.
Fairborn is well known.
Amen.
Even if they don't admit it. They don't have to, though. We're not out here trying to get a name.
Amen.
We're not out here trying to be seen. I know the light's on.
Right.
I know I can see.
Yeah.
I know I'm in Goshen.
Yeah.
I know I'm taken care of.
Yeah.
I know God watches over me. I know God solves all my problems.
Yeah.
He answers all my questions. He heals my body.
Yeah.
He gives me everything. And on top of all of that, he's given me an understanding.
Yeah.
How could it be down when I have that? How could I be down when God's taking care of everything?
Yes.
When he supplied all of, do you realize when God got Israel out in the wilderness, he fed them. He gave them something to drink.
Yes.
He put shoes on their feet that wouldn't wear out.
Oh, yes.
He put clothes on their back that would never will. He takes care of all our needs.
Amen.
We have need of nothing. And I'm not talking about Lady Seal need of nothing. I don't need anything because I've got him. I don't need anything because he's got me. He takes care of all of my needs. So I don't get confused. I don't get messed up. I don't get deceived. I don't walk out the door. When God's word comes from, and when God's word comes forth, I eat it. I love it. I want more of it. In the middle of all this darkness, I have light. Yeah. When your family don't understand you, and they try to get with you, and you start talking about things that they can't get, you start talking about things that they don't understand, you start talking about things that don't make sense to them, and they look at you like, I'm confused. I'm like, I'm not confused. I'm not confused. I'm not confused at all. It shall be light at evening time. But he said in the evening time light, that same Jesus in his resurrected power will rise again. And as he promised in Malachi 4, as he promised in St. John 14:12, as he promised in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look what happened in the days of Sodom. Abraham won the promise of the coming Son. Here we find him down there, and we see the sign that was done. Abraham was up on the mountainside when nobody else knew God was on the earth. Abraham knew God was on the earth. When nobody could talk to God, Abraham talked to God lip to ear. When nobody knew the hour that they were living in, Abraham knew exactly the hour they were living in.
Amen.
And here Abraham was standing there, and God gave him a promise. I'm going to give you a son. Nobody else got a promise like that. Everybody else was doomed. Every other church group in Sodom was doomed. And he sent them one last chance. He sent them two messengers. And what did they do? The only sign those two messengers gave to Sodom was to blind them.
Amen.
Put them in total darkness. Had no clue what was coming. But Lot could feel something's wrong. The foolish virgin feel there's something's wrong. They feel like something's not right. Something's wrong here. These two guys, they blinded everybody. That's not the kind of message we needed. But I don't know. We don't have a messenger. We don't have a prophet. Our two prophets told us, get out. Get out of town. So what did Lot do? He got up and packed up and headed out. But you know, just like in Goshen, there was a woman sitting in Sodom who thought she had it made. Prophets told her what to do. She's like, I'm okay. I know God's here. God's going to save me like he's going to save. But she didn't follow the instructions. See how important it is for you to follow my instructions. She didn't follow the instructions fully. She partially followed. She came out of Sodom. But she didn't wholly follow the message. She turned around because she knew what she had there was more important to where she was going. She thought she had left something important back there. So she turned around and looked back. Don't you look back.
Amen.
But the real promise was on the hillside. The real promise was Abraham. And I love the story of Abraham and Sarah because nobody gets it. That's what I love about it, is that nobody gets it.
Amen.
They're all talking about Sodom condition. Sodom and Gomorrah and the world order, because see, they can feel the darkness.
Yes.
Oh, it's a world, it's a cruel world, it's gonna die. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were all just gonna die. Oh, they got all that going on, and they're right.
Yeah.
Lot was right.
Yeah.
But up on the hillside, they don't even talk about Abraham.
Amen.
Abraham wasn't worried about the hour he was living in.
No.
Abraham wasn't worried that he didn't know everything. God gave him everything he needed to know.
That's right.
Amen.
Abraham wasn't worried about nothing. He's up there enjoying the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord himself.
Amen.
While the rest of the world was in total darkness, Abraham was rejoicing. While the rest of the world was blinded, Abraham was rejoicing and getting a body change.
Amen.
That's us.
He got a promise of a body change.
Right.
So while the rest of the world's running for their life,
Amen.
Abraham wasn't worried about a thing. He said, Sarah, we're going to get a new body.
Yeah.
She was like, wait a minute, Abraham. No, don't worry about Sarah. He's going to get it to her. But Abraham, do you know how old I am? Doesn't matter. Do you know how long we've been in this message? Doesn't matter. Do you know how long we've been saying the Lord's going to come? Didn't matter. He said he's going to come back at the bride's time of life. He's coming to get us right on time. We're going to get that promised son right on time. The rest of the world, they don't even know the son. They don't even know the promise. He didn't talk to them. They're groping in darkness trying to figure this out. And here Abraham was on the hillside getting all the information. Can I hide anything from my friend? No. Oh, it pays to be in the light. Okay, I'm just going to have to move on down here. But I want to show you something. I want to share something with you, which I really was thinking about. And I had the first part of this message together. Then God gave me a second part. Because it's like, it's good to be in Goshen. But that's not enough. He said, well, wait a minute. I thought that was, no. That wasn't enough. Exodus chapter 12. Here's what God told those that were in Goshen. Remember, the whole world was in darkness. But there was light in Goshen. And the people in Goshen should have by that point figured out, we better wholly follow the Lord. Exodus chapter 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. Oh, God only, he doesn't worry about eating animals or anything. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague that shall not be, and the plagues shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. There's the other shoe. You could be sitting in Egypt. You can be an Israelite. You could believe the prophet. But if you didn't do what was instructed for you to do, I don't care how long you've been in this church. I don't care how much you say you love me. I don't care how much you say you follow me. I don't care how much you say you believe this thing. If you don't follow the instructions, your house is just as guilty as the rest of the world that was in darkness.
That's right. You're right.
That's why Brother Lockett always says, you must be born again. Don't come in this church and just sit here and not be born again. Don't come in this church and not follow, wholly follow the instructions. Lot's wife partially followed. You have to wholly follow the instructions that God gives. If you did not place the blood over your doorpost, that death angel visited your house no matter who you were.
Amen.
No matter how religious you were, no matter how much you love God, how much you say you love God, the proof is that you followed his instructions.
Amen.
And you could have been in Goshen when the flies didn't come to Goshen. You could have been in Goshen when the sun shone in Goshen. You could have been in Goshen when all the plagues went around Goshen. But if you didn't follow this instruction, you could have done all the other and death angel would still hit your house.
Amen.
So don't come to 1744 Superior Avenue and think because you're in Goshen that you're okay. And then when he heard Pastor Moses speak, Brother Branham said, that day he said, but you got to get beneath the blood. For God said, the blood is a token. It's a token no matter how much you believed, how much you're circumcised. See, Brother Branham's leaving nothing out. How much you're circumcised, that's the covenant God gave to Abraham and so forth. And that's the covenant. But you got to get beneath the blood. That's a token. For he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see the blood, I'll pass. Israelite or any. Didn't matter who you were. It doesn't matter who you are in this place today. If you don't get under the blood, you say, I've gone to this church many years. I've never repented. I've never been baptized. I've never gone all the way. But I believe the message. If you believe the message, you'll go all the way with the message. Amen. That's denominations or not denomination. Either one, you must come beneath the blood. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, undenominational, whatever you are, it's for an individual. You've got to come beneath the blood. And now just don't talk about it. You hear me, Fairborn? Don't you just sit here and talk about it. Don't just talk about it. Receive it. Hear me, Brother Branham said. Hear me in the name of the Lord. Hear me, see. Got to come beneath the blood. Yeah. You got to have that blood applied. You might say, I believe the prophet. That's fine. You might say, I believe the message. That's fine. You might say, I've seen the signs and wonders. I've seen God heal the sick. I've seen God raise the dead. I've seen God do all these things. That's fine. But you got to come beneath the blood. And here you're talking to Israelites. We're not even talking about Egypt. We're not talking about the Egyptians. We're in Goshen. We're in the land where God's blessed. We're in the land where we get milk and honey. We get all this stuff. We get all these things, and God's telling us, get under the token or you'll perish.
Amen.
He's not responsible for any person from beneath the blood. God made it clear that all from under the blood will perish. You hear that, Fairborn? May I use his words? All outside of Christ will perish. How do you get into Christ? 1 Corinthians 12, by one spirit, not by one handshake, by one membership, by one denomination. That's where we're trying to make it. That may do it. Do that. They may do that. But by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. If an angel from heaven teaches anything else, Paul said, let him be cursed. That's the message. Come into Christ. Look, any person outside of the token, God was not responsible. And God is not responsible for any person, big or small, popular or unpopular, rich or poor, bond or free, male or female. That's everybody in here. He's not responsible for anybody that's from under the token covenant. He's not responsible. Even in Goshen. After God has done all that he had done, all those plagues and all the signs and all those wonders and how he blinded the Egyptians and he did all these things and he protected Israel during that whole time. When the water was turned to blood, Israel was protected. When the flies came, Israel was protected. God always protected Israel. But you can sit right under the protection in this church. And if you just sit here and don't apply the blood, don't apply the token, it will do you no good.
Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, verse 1, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon, or shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. In the midst of all this darkness, amen. We're sitting here. You should never let the words out of your mouth, I'm confused. Amen. Not now. Amen. Not in this hour. Not in this day. Not at this time. Before we had a prophet, we all said it. Before we got a new birth, we all said it. Before we understood this thing, we all said it. But not now. Not now. For every Bible question is a Bible answer. Amen. And we've been given, we've been blessed amongst all people. Amen. I mean, there is no excuse for us. There is no excuse for Fairborn. Right. Now, there's churches out there that don't have it all right, and they've got this wrong and that wrong, and they'll be fine because God's going to wink at their ignorance. If he's going to wink at all, it'll be because they've recognized the prophet, but they got a lot of stuff mixed in there. But you here? We've been taught right here. When we've been rejected by people, we've been taught right. When people try to convince us to teach it differently, we've been taught right. So for us to be confused in this hour, it's on you. I don't even have, I can't jump out on that limb with you. Let me just jump down real quick. The last age ended up, and I won't read it, but the final age ended up in total darkness. When Brother Branham preached the church ages, God come down there and he flashed it on the back wall just like that. They got mad at Brother Childers because he blackened in that whole last age, because in the church age it had just a little bit of light in it. But that's at the beginning of the age. Brother Childers showed it at the end of the age. Total darkness. No light at all. And Brother Branham talked about, it was Pope Paul the VI. Pope Paul, named after the original Pope, the original Brother Paul, not really a Pope. They call him a Pope. They call Peter a Pope. They're the one killed him. But Paul, Pope Paul the VI, number of man, went to Israel. And that's shown on the wall. And the last one, the picture that Brother Branham showed, I think it's in the Church Age book, that last one was, he only showed 6. Because it wouldn't do any good to show the 7th one because it was in total darkness. Light was gone. The total world was in total darkness. The Pope was on the move. God was showing that the light was out of the church ages. And the church was moved into total darkness. That's why you got to come out of it. Amen. That's why you can't keep your denominational tradition. That's why you got to lay down your thinking. You're trying to say you have such a close relationship with God. If you have such a close relationship with God, you will acknowledge the things that I speak.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
You say, you be the man, try to make yourself equal with God. Another Pharisee. We are equal with God.
Amen.
But God's got an order. God's got a way.
Amen.
God's got a thing that he's going to move and how he's going to move and when and where. He never does it without his prophet. He never does it without the fivefold ministry. He never runs a local assembly without the pastor.
Amen.
Doesn't run a home. Gotta have a man.
Right.
You say, I don't have a husband. I'm your husband.
Right.
You still got a man. Right, ma'am?
Absolutely. Amen.
That's right.
We're not without an excuse.
Right.
You say, oh, this is so hard. You've made it hard. He's made it so easy that a fool would not err.
Amen.
He's made it so simple that we should be able to walk in here and a 7-year-old understand it.
Right.
How can a 7-year-old understand it and you can't?
Right.
Oh my. Right. Amen.
Those are the questions you need to ask. They don't seem confused. They ask some good questions on Sunday night. And questions that make sense. Light and total darkness.
Amen.
That's what we've got going on here. When the Pope went off there and went to Jerusalem, he went over there to Palestine, and he wanted to go in there, and it went in total darkness. Jesus said over in St. John 9, he said, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm glad he said that. I am the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world. As long as he is, he was the only light there was. But now, every scripture that applies to Jesus applies to us. As long as we are in the world, we are the light of the world.
Amen.
You do not walk in darkness. Can't. You could turn the lights off in here today and you can still see. Sun shining. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come, a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. When you come to God, you never sit in darkness. Don't let yourself feel like you're in darkness. I don't understand. I can't see. I can't get this. I can't. This message is too hard. This message is the easiest thing that's ever come your way. Like falling off a log. All you got to do is believe it. That's how easy it is. It wasn't hard, Beth, was it? And you said, well, I got to give up this. I got to give up that. It wasn't no good anyway. It's like I'm going to sell Isaiah a raggedy old shirt of mine. Say, Isaiah, I get this shirt for $10. And he gave me that $10. It wasn't nothing anyway. I had nothing I wanted. And you trying to hold on to your thinking when it ain't worth nothing anyway? You try to hang on to the world. You try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church so you can be safe. That's why you do it. That's why you do it. You love the world, but you want to be safe. I'm going to be in Goshen just in case. But I ain't putting no blood over the door because that's nasty. Don't sit here and die. Don't sit here and die. You say, I've never been serious. Today's the day. I never made the light the most important thing. Today's the day. I gave him 80%. He wants
100%.
Today's the day. You can walk in total light in the midst of all this darkness that's out here. You can walk in total light, knowing exactly who you are, knowing where you stand, knowing what God's done for you, knowing all these things. You can have all of this right at your fingertips. And I'll be with you, Brother Branham said. I'll be in you. I'll be in the Luther age. I'll be in the Wesley age. I'll be in the Pentecostal age, but right at evening time, it'll come light. The denominationals will fade away, and then the token will be applied. It's got to be applied. Amen. At evening time, the token, remember Brother Branham said, token didn't come till evening time. You couldn't even apply it till now.
Right.
The token will be applied, and all those that honest in heart, down through there, Without you, they wouldn't be made perfect. It's like the head has to go to take the foot. The head has to go to take the hand. The head has to go to take the heart. The head has to go to take the mouth. See, the head has to go. And now we're at a time where the token was applied on the lintel of the door, see, and on the post. And then when I see the blood being applied, being the token, I'll pass over you. That's where we're at, church. Don't just sit in Fairborn thinking you're safe. You got to have the token. You got to apply it. Apply this thing to your life. Let it change you. Check yourself out. Like I said, if you haven't changed in a year, you need to apply the token. You've been sitting here a year, but that ain't doing you no good. You got to apply the token. You can walk in light in the midst of all this darkness out here. And that's what we do. That's why we have hope. That's why we have hope where there is no hope. When men think that they're running out, we still have an answer. Like Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we're not sitting here at a dead-end street saying, oh, Lord, I'm wrapping it up now. Right. No. I got another one waiting on me. Right. It's not even, I don't have to go get it. No. It's waiting on me.
Yeah.
It's waiting on me to lay this down. When I lay this down, I'll be right there.
That's
right. Won't even miss a breath.
Right.
Won't even miss a beat.
Right.
Won't even miss a bat of an eye. That's the easiest move you'll ever make.
Right.
So we don't fear death. Cancer, we don't feel cancer.
Amen.
God will heal you or he won't.
That's right.
But you're not going to fear it.
Right.
Problems, troubles, marriages, work,
yeah.
Family, self.
Yeah. Well.
We don't fear none of that.
Amen.
If I'm wrong, I can get right.
That's right.
If I've messed up all the way up until the day, today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
That's a new day. I can get right. I can take that next step that I need to take. I can reset. I can start over again.
Amen.
Today's first day of the rest of your life.
That's right.
I can walk in this light. And the Bible tells me, if you walk in the light, see it in the light, then you have fellowship one with another. Because you're both walking in light. You know, if you take one candle in a room, it'll light it up. But if you put two in there, it'll get brighter. Put 50 in there, it gets pretty bright. Take your little watt of light and use it for his glory. Walk in the light in the midst of all this total darkness. And we will get to the promised land where he said he's going to take us. We'll have to wonder and worry. We don't have to fret. We'll have to try to figure it out. He will make a way. He will give us everything. He'll provide all of our needs. Whatever you need. If you need, I don't know, name it. He'll provide it. He always has and always will. Let's sing He's Provided. Come on, musician. Yes.
Happy to be back. Happy to be back. You know, I've missed a few services, not feeling well. And, you know, I was in the hospital on Wednesday, and I was a little nervous, but I was like, God, you didn't take it away from me. There must be some reason I'm here, you know, and I just was listening to that service, and thank God that I have the light.
Amen.
You know, like you hear a message like that, and some people might hear something else, but I heard I have the light, you know, and it's so funny. My sister and I went to COSI on Friday, and they have this big exhibit. It's phosphorescence, okay, and there's phosphorescence in these animals in the ocean where there is no light at all.
Right.
There is a chemical inside them that causes them to have light. And wherever they are, there's light there.
There's light.
You know, and then there's the phosphorescent in your toys, your inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to steal the light from somewhere else and reflect it. They have no life in them.
Right.
You know, they're just sitting there. They get a little life. But if you put it in a box, it's not going to light up, you know. And I thank God that I have light in me, real living light.
Amen.
You know, and I was just, yeah. You talk about it's so easy, and I tell my kids all the time, you don't have to give in to anxiety and all these things. That's the world telling you that you have to have trauma and you have to have it hard. It's not hard. Just say God's got it. You know,
that's right.
Everything we do, every time I give my kids an answer, God's got it.
He's got it.
And it's so easy. And yes, you have to push through, but it's easy to push through.
That's right.
When you know that God's got it.
That's right.
Love it.
Amen. 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 You know what page that is? I don't know. It may not be in there. He's already provided. We know that song. Amen. What key? G. He's already provided. He's already provided.
provided. Every promise you can claim, just ask it. Just ask it in His name. Everything you need, He's already provided.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that You've already provided. You said You were the light of the world. And he that walks in Your light will not walk in darkness. And we're so grateful this morning that You said that while You were here, You were the light. But now that You're not here, but You're here in us, we have become the light of the world. And Father, we stand here in full sunlight. There's light where we are. When the world's in darkness, we're in clear understanding. Help us to push and press. And Lord, let it be first place in our lives like never before. Thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace, and Your patience with us. Lord, everything we've needed, You provided. Thank You, Father, for how You give so much. Thank You for how You provided everything in this message that we need to get out of here. Let us apply it, Lord. Let us let it be first place in our life. Not just a place, but first place in our lives. Ask You to touch those that are here this morning that, Lord, maybe have given a part. But Lord, we want to give all. Have Your way with their lives, with all of our lives, so that we can, Lord, just move as You move. Just be with us, Father. Thank You for Your love, mercy, and grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Ask it in His name. Everything you need, He's already provided.
You're dismissed.